Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and mercy. We thank you for all that you have done in our lives. Thank you for your presence with us and within us. Thank you for your power working in us, enabling us to do what is right in your sight. Thank you, Lord, for victories you have given to us on every side. Thank you for opportunities you are creating for us to embrace and prosper. Thank you, Lord, for destroying the works of the enemy that were against us. Thank you for your light that is shining in our souls and minds and spirits. Thank you, Father. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for all that you have taught us by your Holy Spirit. We thank you for how these truths has changed our lives. Thank you for how you have kept us in the path of righteousness and holiness by your Spirit, by your strength. Thank you, Lord, for making it difficult for the enemy to deceive us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Be glorified forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for what you are doing in the Bible study classes we have on this platform every Tuesday. We thank you, Lord, for how you have been using these teachings to save lives, to heal, to deliver, to restore, to transform many lives. Thank you, Lord. We thank you because even now you will speak to us again. You will teach us again. You will bless us again. Thank you, Father. I ask, O God, that you take over this session. Let your Holy Spirit interpret these words in every heart in such a way that no one will be in darkness and everyone will understand the message, and everyone will be edified. Thank you, Lord, because we know you will do beyond our requests. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. I welcome every one of you to the teaching class, and I believe that whatever is dark in your life, the light of the Word of God, the light of the truth of God, will destroy such darkness, and you will be enlightened, and you'll be strong, and you will be established more and more in the truth, in Jesus' name. We're going to continue from where we have been looking at, and you know, we started from the theme, the need for believers' fellowship, and we moved to the reasons for fellowship, and then I said number one reason, which is 2A, edification and inspiration, 2B, reading the word together. We fellowship to read the word together, to study the word together, to learn the word of God together. And then point C is exhortation and instruction. We do fellowship for exhortation and instruction, which I already explained during the last class. So I'm going to read some scriptures to you and also explain them by the grace of God. Yeah, let's read the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 15, verse 32. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 15, verse 32. And Judas and Silas, being prophets also themselves, exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them. Judas and Silas, being prophets, these men exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them. Yeah, if you look at the same verse in New Living Translation, it says, then Judas and Silas, both being prophets, spoke at length to the believers, encouraging and strengthening their faith. Yeah, these men, they took time to encourage the believer and to strengthen their faith. So what King James Version meant by confirm them means that they spoke in a way that their faith became stronger in the Lord. Yeah, because as at that time, some people came from Jerusalem and began to tell the Gentile believers to get themselves circumcised, to start keeping some Jewish laws, and they make them feel like their salvation is fake or incomplete if they don't keep certain Jewish laws. Yeah, and the thing was affecting the Gentile Christians. Yeah, imagine you already have a strong assurance that you're born again, you are saved, and you have the Holy Ghost, and then somebody is now making you feel like you are no longer saved, and that whatever Holy Ghost you have is also fake. And you know, and you can't make heaven because you are not maybe keeping Sabbath days, you are not following some Jewish calendar, some Jewish festivals, you are not you are not circumcised and all of that. Yeah, so that was what was happening to the church in the Gentile region. Yeah, and they were troubled, they were confused, but thank God for the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit, who is our advocate and comforter, the Holy Spirit stood for the church in the Gentile region at that time by using the founding fathers of the church, which were the apostles who were chosen by Jesus Christ himself. Yeah, I'm talking of Peter and the rest of the apostles and the elders, those who received of Jesus's ministry firsthand. Yeah, so the Holy Spirit went to those men. They had discussions and they came up with the conclusion that we are not going to trouble these new converts. Yeah, they are not in Jerusalem, and who are we to decide their salvation? If the same Holy Ghost that was given to us here also came to them right there, without them keeping any Jewish laws, then that means God already bypassed those laws and God already redeemed them without any additional Jewish laws or traditions. Yeah, so they saw that God cannot be working miracles in Gentile countries. I mean, they understood that God can't be working miracles in Gentile nations and filling the people with the Holy Spirit if he had not bypassed all those laws that they are keeping in Jerusalem. Yeah, so they believe the blood of Jesus already covered all of those laws, and God already exempt them from keeping those laws. Yeah, so that was why they concluded that we can't now be putting burdens on you when God already, you know, justified you. Yeah, so that was why they now they wrote letters and gave the letter to Apostle Paul and Barnabas, and they sent two other brethren who were Jewish Christians, Judas and Silas, and they were also prophets. So they sent these brethren together with Paul and Barnabas to those Christians to read those letters and to also deliver the message by mouth, and to now, you know, strengthen them and let them know that there's nothing to worry about, that they can practice Christianity by faith right there without any need to follow Jewish laws. Yeah, so that was what happened in that passage. Yeah, and we can learn from that. We can learn from that, you know, from that situation or that passage. We can learn from what happened in that passage, and also shut up people in this our present dispensation who are trying to make our salvation ineffective or make our salvation weak by saying that we must follow certain Jewish laws. We must keep Sabbath days. We must follow Jewish calendar. We must follow Jewish festivals. Yeah, we should stop and let them know that this thing has happened before in the Bible. And the apostles of those days said Gentile Christians should not follow those laws. Yeah. So is a message to us to shut up people who are preaching false doctrines, saying that if you're not circumcised, you are not a Christian, or you can't be a Christian if you're not circumcised. You can't be a Christian if you don't keep Sabbath days. You can't be a Christian if you don't follow certain Jewish laws and festivals. Yeah, so we can use the same passage in the scripture to shut those people up and let them know that the people in Cilicia, the people in Antioch, they did original Christianity without keeping the Sabbath and Jewish laws. Yeah, the people in Syria, or the believers in Syria in those days, in Antioch, in Cilicia, they were confirmed Christians, and they did not follow any of the Jewish laws. Because the apostles came to conclusion and they said, we are not going to put any burden on these new believers that God is saving and winning unto his kingdom, or winning into his kingdom. We are not going to place any burden on them. So we don't want them to follow the laws we are following here in Jerusalem. So let them serve God in faith and through the help of the Holy Spirit. So that was the conclusion. So if anyone is telling you, maybe, you know, we have some people, they call them Seventh-day Adventists, and we have some other churches like that. If anyone is telling you, you're not a Christian if you don't keep Sabbath days, show them from the Bible that certain people have said the same things, have said the same words in the Bible, and the church authority said they didn't send those people, and the church authority in those days said they don't want the Christians in Gentile nations to follow the same rule. Now, maybe if you find yourself in Jerusalem, right now, there are some Christians in Jerusalem. If maybe you find yourself in Jerusalem, maybe you can keep the Sabbath. There's nothing wrong about keeping the Sabbath. Is it not to just stay inside the house and not go out? I do that a lot. I do that a lot. Many times I'm just indoor talking to God. Many days indoor talking to God. And going nowhere. And sometimes I don't even cook any food. Because in Sabbath days, you should not cook. You should not. There's a way the Bible puts it. You don't go on, you don't go on many miles. As in, you don't travel for many miles. And some other rules like that. You don't walk. So I do that many times, many days. I think if you find yourself in Jerusalem, for instance, you probably can keep the Sabbath. There's nothing wrong with that. But as long as you are here in Gentile nations, there's no burden on your salvation to be looking for Sabbath days to keep. We need to be wiser than the devil that is trying to confuse the body of Christ. He tried it then, but he failed. And now the devil is bringing up the same issues today, saying you're not a Christian until you keep the Sabbath. That is foolishness as far as I am concerned. And that is ignorance of the truth, or that is a kind of deception from the pit of hell, meaning that people knew what they are believing is wrong, and they still decided to believe what is wrong as the truth. That is a very high level of deception. When you know that what you are believing is not the truth, and you are still saying is the truth, when everything already proves that is not the truth. Let's continue. Now, my point from that verse was that God used Judas and Silas. Not Judas Iscariot, the one who hanged himself. But there was another Judas in those days that was a prophet. Together with Silas, God used them to strengthen the believers those days when there was so much confusion, yeah, God used them to strengthen the believer's faith. In the same way, whenever we have fellowship, it's a place where we are being strengthened in the faith. It's a place where you are being encouraged and your faith is being strengthened. That is why it's a place where you should ask questions, especially when we have maybe teaching class like this, and we mention something that you don't fully understand, or there has been an issue in your mind about the kingdom of God, about Christianity, about the Christian faith, about prayer, about fasting, about knowing God, about hearing the voice of God, about getting closer to God, and about spiritual gifts. So if there's any issue about the kingdom of God that you are not fully enlightened on, or you are not fully you have not fully understood, or you are not fully established in that truth, you should ask questions, especially if you ask the leaders God has placed over you, so that they can help you. Yeah. So, because we would always need teachings and encouragement in the church. That is why God gave us leaders that has a higher higher knowledge of the things of God's kingdom. Yeah, God gave those leaders those knowledge and revelations and wisdom, yeah, so that they can help other believers who are yet to ascend to that height of knowledge and enlightenment. So, you know, so that they can bring up those believers to that height of knowledge and understanding, yeah, of the things of God. So that is why you should not keep quiet. Yeah, if you feel like you don't even understand what salvation is all about, and you don't even know if you are saved, you are not sure if you are saved, speak out and let the leaders help you. Yeah, let mature believers help you. People who are no longer shaken. I mean, leaders who have a strong foundation in the Lord, strong roots in Christ, strong roots in the truth. So these are leaders who are not being tossed to and fro. They are matured. Their faith is not shaken. So nothing will happen to them that will make them turn back from God or lose their salvation. So these are leaders that have been trained by God over time. God has subjected them to diverse trials, diverse temptations, diverse tribulations, persecutions. And God has helped them to overcome. So these are men and women who have been so helped in their walk with God that nothing shakes their faith and nothing can bring them down, except they want to come down and they want to fall. Yeah, so people like this, God has put them in the church to help those that are still growing, those that are still coming to maturity in Christ. Yeah, so that is why when you find yourself in a group or in a ministry or in a fellowship where there are people like this, take advantage of it. Yeah, take advantage of it and ask questions. Pour out your mind. Let them know how they can help encourage you and strengthen you in your faith in Christ. Now, I discovered that some believers, they have these kind of social ties with their pastors. They have this kind of casual relationship with their pastors or with their leaders. Yeah, so it's just, you know, it's just for kind of social conformity or social unity or social relationship, like, you know, this is my pastor, he's a nice man, he's an handsome man, he has a beautiful wife, he has children, I know where he's staying, I know where he's working, I know who he is, and stuff like that, just kind of carnal or casual knowledge. Yeah, but is that the reason why God placed spiritual leaders over you? Is it for social relationships, social ties, and social conformity? Is it for that? No. Of course, that is normal. Yeah, as brethren, we have to socialize together. But that is not why God placed leaders, spiritual leaders, over us. As a church. Yeah, so don't just be socially connected or casually connected to the spiritual leaders God has placed over you. Be spiritually connected. Yeah. Be determined to learn to learn from them. Yeah. I love those kind of members who want to learn, to grow into maturity in Christ Jesus. Not just members who are just, you know, social, but members who want to learn, I mean disciples, who want to learn, who want to grow, who want to be strong in the faith. I love those kind of people. Yeah, I'm not saying you should not, you know, relate with me socially, but I'm saying that I would want more of spiritual connections, spiritual relationships. Yeah, because that is where the future of Christianity lies. Yeah, is in spiritual growth, is in discipleship. That is how we know if Christianity will still be around in the next 20, 50 years or 100 years is by how much the knowledge of the Lord has been imparted into the coming generations. And when I say coming generations, I'm not talking about the youths and the children. I'm talking about those who are still spiritual babes. Those are the coming generation I'm referring to. Yeah, it's not about age, it's about how old are you in Christ, not how old are you in your, you know, human age. Yeah, so I believe you understand what I'm trying to show you here. Take advantage of the spiritual leaders God has placed over you by wanting to know what they know. Yeah, you should want to know what they know that made them who they are, that made them talk the way they talk, that make them think the way they think, that make them see the things of this world the way they see the things of this world. So aren't you concerned about knowing what these people know, seeing what they have seen? Yeah. For them to be so confident and peaceful in the midst of chaos and troubles. Aren't you, I don't know the English if it is concerned, aren't you concerned? Or aren't you curious To know what these people know, to encounter what they encounter that made them what they are. Yeah, so if you are curious, then you will draw closer to them spiritually. Yeah, you will want to know what they know. You will ask questions. You will ask for their guidance. Yeah, and you'll be sincere about it. So yeah, so this was what happened in the church of the Gentiles in those days. The people were so concerned. They were like, are you people saying that we are no longer Christians because we don't follow certain Jewish laws? Yeah. But thank God for the leaders God gave them. These leaders, they took time to encourage them and to explain the matters of God's kingdom in simple terms, in such that all of them were excited. They were encouraged that, you know, that they had those words from those brethren, the prophets, Judas and Silas. Yeah, that is what I think I should tell you as a lesson from that passage. Now let's move to another scripture in Acts chapter 20. Verse 7, Acts chapter 20, Acts 20, verse 7. Yeah, it says, and upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. Yeah, so this is also an example of exhortation and instruction that happened in the scripture during fellowship. Yeah, Apostle Paul was going to travel. You know, he was a missionary traveling from one country to another, preaching the gospel. He was going to move to another country or another region. And he felt like, I just need to pour out everything that is inside of me. Yeah, I just need to pour out everything. So we don't know for how many hours he was preaching in this passage, which I believe he was teaching a lot. Because teaching is part of preaching. Teaching is inside of preaching. Yeah. So we don't know for how many hours, but this verse said he did it until midnight. So meaning that he spent a long time exhorting the people, teaching the people. Yeah. So maybe he was answering questions, we don't know. Maybe some people were asking questions and he was answering, and some were asking and he was answering, or he was trying to explain some deep revelations of God's kingdom or of Jesus Christ. Yeah, and he did that until midnight. Yeah, so another lesson to pick from that verse is that when you are in fellowship with other believers, you should not be in a haste. Yeah, you should not be in a haste to leave and go and attend to some, you know, some kind of things. Yeah, you should not be in a haste. Some people, they just spent 1 hour, 30 minutes in the church, and they're already looking at the time. Oh, this pastor is taking time. He's talking too much. I have an appointment to catch up with. I have a place to go. And some, they don't even have anything. They just want to go back and start watching movies at home. Or some, they want to go and eat and stuff like that. Yeah, so whenever you are in the presence of God and in fellowship with other believers, you should not be in a haste to leave. Yeah, in fact, you should want to stay there. Yeah, David said that he wants to stay in the house of God forever. Yeah, that he wants to dwell in the house of God forever. That is so much, you know, as in that's an expression of how much he had been addicted to God's presence. Yeah, he just wants to be in God's presence, learning. Yeah, learning new things. Yeah, so let us repent and be full of strong desire to learn from the Lord. So even if it is you alone studying the Bible or praying or doing any spiritual thing, don't set time. Yeah, don't set time. The reason why you do not set time is because you don't know the move of the Spirit. Yeah, the move of the Spirit might be beyond the time you have in mind to spend in God's presence. Yeah, you might think 2 hours is enough. Whereas that day, the Spirit of God wants to engage you 5 hours. But you were like, let me just spend 2 hours and leave. Stop doing that. Yeah, it's a way of quenching the Spirit. And the Bible says we should not quench the Spirit. Have you read that in the Bible before? Yeah, let me read a place for you. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19. It says, quench not the Spirit. Quench not the Spirit. Yeah, so I'm sure Apostle Paul in that passage might not have the intention to speak that long. Yeah, it might not be his idea to speak that long. Yeah, or to preach that long. But at the point that the Spirit of God must have, you know, kept him doing that. Yeah, because, for instance, he's going to travel the following day. Usually, a normal human being will want to have some time to rest before daybreak and then travel. But this man kept on preaching until midnight. Yeah. So if it were his idea, he would have, you know, just ran over maybe at 10 p.m. or 9 p.m. and then go and rest. But something must have kept him talking and preaching and speaking spiritual things to the people. And that is the Holy Spirit. Yeah. So if you are in a meeting, stop checking time. You are in a meeting, even if the pastor said this meeting is going to be 2 hours. Don't check time, because the meeting could be 6 hours. If the Holy Ghost wants it that way. Yeah. Yeah. So, and if it is not a meeting, let's say you are alone with God in your room, praying or studying or worshiping, don't set time. Yeah, because whatever the time you set, whatever is the time you set, the Spirit of God might not follow that time. Yeah, he might follow his own time. And some people I realized how they lost many encounters from God. Many Christians lost diverse encounters from God because they left God's presence earlier than they should. For instance, the Spirit of God, the anointing, the power of God was going to come upon them at the sixth hour in the place of prayer, but they left the place of prayer at the third hour. Yeah, they couldn't persist, even though they were feeling the urge in their spirit to continue to pray. But they left. They couldn't stay. That was how many people lost life-changing encounters and visitations from God. Yeah, visitations that were meant to change their life forever. Yeah, so don't check time. You know, before I used to check time when I'm praying and doing spiritual things. But when the Lord corrected me, I stopped checking time. Yeah, and I realized that God always waits for me towards the later hours, which many people would have stopped praying at that time. Let's say, for instance, I start some prayers I start doing a prayer by 10 a.m. Yeah, most people will probably stop after 4 hours or 5 hours, which is 10, 11, 12, 1, 2, 3. So by 3 p.m., some people already stopped. Yeah, but when it is that time, 3 p.m., when when most people would stop, I would feel the urge to continue. And I will not stop. I will continue. Yeah, so it is while spending more, maybe like 10 hours, it is in those maybe around 8 or 9 hours that I start getting encounters from God. So you can see how the principle of being persistent in God's presence unlocks encounters from heaven, great encounters from the throne of God. Yeah. So if you feel like I want to be like apostle, I want to know what apostle knows, I want to have this level of spiritual growth that this man have, then I'm just telling you how I got some of the powerful revelations I teach and I share with people, and they feel like, wow, this can only come from God. Yeah, it was not just, it was not, I didn't get those encounters, or I didn't have those, I didn't get such level of spiritual growth by setting time in God's presence. No, I did not. Yeah, I got a lot of them by shutting the door on myself and staying in the room for hours. Yeah, I mean hours. Hours beyond normal hours, people pray. Usually people pray maybe for like 5 hours, 6 hours. Yeah, I do, and I did hours beyond that. Just I and the Lord. Yeah, and these were moments that changed my life. Yeah, you think your life is going to be changed easily? No. No. We are in a very dark world. Very deadly, demonic, polluted, defeated world. Yeah. We are in a world where you can't. can't just be right. I mean, you can't be right in God's sight except by divine visitations and divine interventions. I mean, except, you know, God visited you in some powerful way and begin to help you and begin to change your life. I mean, change you from the inside, change your soul, change your mindset, change your spirit. So all these divine operations, I call them divine surgical operations. Yeah, is what will make a man to be able to stand firm in righteousness, in truth, in faith, in purity. So you think it's easy to do what is right? It's not easy. You can ask people out there that are struggling to do what is right before God, and they will tell you they want to do what is right, and they just, you know, they just don't know why they can't. Yeah, it's because there are powers controlling the universe, controlling the way we think, controlling the way we see things, controlling our emotions, controlling everything. They have enslaved humanity, and they have been doing this for centuries. So, and these are powers you must defeat to become who God wants you to be. And now you are praying few hours prayers, and you think you can defeat those powers that way? No. It is not going to work. Yeah. It can't work like that. Yeah, so we will be transformed by diverse encounters. Encounters means that you pray to a point whereby you hit the gate of heaven, and God visited you to change your life. Now, it might not be that God visited you to change something physical in your life. No, I'm talking about God changing you from the inside. Those are the encounters I had and I've been having always to remain who I am till now and to continue in the faith till now. Yeah, it's not as if I go through many things. In fact, I go through things that I don't pray any of you go through. Because if some of you go through some of the things I've gone through, you might not be a Christian again. Yeah, you might lose your salvation. Yeah, so, but what could make me go through those things is those impartation I got from God. I'm not talking about impartation someone lays on you. No, impartation that comes through encounter, meaning God visited you and he began to do surgeries in your soul. God began to fix many things in your emotions, in your mind, in your spirit. These are deep things that even you can't understand. Sometimes you behave in a way and you don't even know why you behave that way. Because that was how your ancestors behaved, is inside your blood. So there's an encounter that will come and remove that thing from your blood, and that is how you will stop behaving like that. Yeah. So some of you think Christianity is just like I read the Bible, I meditate, and then I'm trying. Yeah. Do I fall sometimes? But I'm trying. It's not about trying. It's about victory. It's about you got it. Like when soldiers fight battles and then they won, they say, yes, we won. That is what Christianity is all about. It's not about, we are trying to win. We have been fighting this battle, so we are still trying. Christianity is not about trying. It's about winning. You won. It's about victory. So if there's an attitude in your life, and you have not overcome, I mean a sinful attitude, yeah, then why haven't you prayed till you overcome that attitude? Yeah, how many hours have you prayed till you receive grace to overcome that attitude? Yeah, so Christianity is about power is about victories. Yeah, it's about transformation. You are being changed from the inside. And as you are being changed from the inside, that is how the things on the outside of you will start changing. Yeah, that is Christianity. Yeah, so that is how I, you know, that is how I became what I am today. Yeah. I hope you understand. And that is what God has committed in my hands to do to others. So it's a calling. Train others. Disciple others. Yeah. To have all this transformation. Yeah. You know, to have, you know, all this transformation that I have from God. Yeah. So that is what God has placed in my hands to do to believers, like show them how to walk in victory. Yeah. To replicate what has happened in my life, which I believe I might have some advancement. Yeah, I believe I might have some, you know, spiritual advancement, but I believe there is still more I'm yet to attain. Yeah, but even the one I have now, in as much as I try to replicate it in other people, I realize that people run away. I mean, Christians run away. The Christians don't want things the hard way. Yeah. Everyone, they want to follow the, you know, the principles by which we enter heaven. The principles by which we inherit eternal life. So nobody wants to follow those principles. Those principles. Yeah. So that is my passion for the body of Christ, that everyone grow and be victorious and be strong and be established and be matured in the knowledge of God. Yeah. So I do this and I'm not discouraged, and I still want to do more to teach and to disciple and to train people. Hopefully that some few will embrace such process that will not only change their lives, but will change the whole world. Yeah. So now let us look at another scripture. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Yeah, which I think we have quoted the scripture when we started the teaching newly. So let me just read. It says, assembling. Okay, or let me open to that place. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 25. It says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Yeah. So he's saying that don't forsake the assembling of ourselves. Yeah, even when you feel like discouraged, when you feel like certain things you wanted to happen, I mean positive things you wanted to happen to you, that day did not happen as you were, you know, as you wanted. Still, don't be discouraged. Pack your Bibles and go to church meetings, or join online meetings. Yeah, which is what we do in our ministry. Though we do physical meetings, but that's for Nigerians here. So, my point is that don't allow whatsoever you whatsoever you went through that day I need to reply to someone. I was saying that don't allow whatsoever you went through in that day or in a day to discourage you from joining church meetings. Yeah, some people maybe they were expecting a certain breakthrough, or they were expecting that a blessing comes in that day, or they were expecting an appointment or something, and things didn't go the way they wanted. So they will, because of that, you know, get cold spiritually and feel like, I don't need to join prayer today. I don't need to, you know, I don't need to be part of the meeting today. I just want to rest my head. That is not right. Yeah, that is not right. Yeah, so let it be in your mind that if I'm discouraged, when I come to fellowship meetings, I will be encouraged. Yeah, I will be strong again. So even if the pastor, the prayer leader, did not mention about your case, just know that as I'm going to this meeting, the presence of God is there, and I will be encouraged. The presence of God is there, and I will be strengthened. The presence of God is there, and I will be helped. Yeah, so let it be your mindset. Don't allow emotions or feelings to stop you from attending church meetings or fellowship meetings. Yeah, because it is a deception, it is a lie of the devil to make you feel like you don't need to go. You feel like I've been praying and praying, no results. So why attend another prayer session? Why attend another, you know, Bible study or another program? Yeah, that is the devil trying to deceive you right there. So I'm coming just some few minutes. Sorry, I needed to attend to someone. Yeah, so that is the last Bible verse under the point exhortation and instruction. Yeah, so the next point, which is point D, which is point D, I will just mention that point then later next week we would look at the scriptures under that point. So the next point, which is another reason for fellowship, another reason for coming together to have fellowship as believers, is gathering for special prayers. Gathering for special prayer. Or maybe you can say gathering for prayers. Yeah, but because there are still some other points that refers to prayers. So let's say special prayer. Now, what I mean by special prayer is, let's say for instance, there was a situation that needed urgent prayer. For instance, there was a time King Herod kidnapped, or maybe I should use the word arrested, Peter in the Bible. He had killed James, and he did it successfully. There was no protest. Nobody rose against it. All the Jews were happy with that. Yeah, that he killed James, which was, you know, who was one of the apostles. So now he arrested Peter again. Yeah, he arrested Peter and put him in the deeper place, in the prison. I mean, some very deep prison, like dungeons. Yeah, all this prison that they put top criminals. Yeah, so, and the church suddenly woke up from their sleep. They said, no, Herod must not succeed in killing Peter as he did to James. So the Bible says the church began to pray. The church in Jerusalem began to pray. So it was like a chain prayers. So we don't know how they followed that prayer program, or we don't know how they did that prayer program. But the Bible made us to know that they were praying like that every day. So maybe some believers were praying from morning, you know, maybe from 9 a.m. To 3, and then some were picked up from 4 to, I don't know, you know, they call it chain prayers. Maybe like 6 hours intervals, or 4 hours intervals. Like some we do for 4 hours, then from there some other believers will pick it up, do for 4 hours. So they were serious about it. They said, no, Peter must not die. So the whole church began to pray. The whole church began to pray. Oh God, arise. Deliver Peter. Oh God, arise. Rescue Peter. Oh God, arise. So this, that was the situation then. And God arose. Yeah, the Bible told us that an angel of the Lord went to the place where Peter was imprisoned. and brought him out in such a way that the prison doors were still closed. So everyone thought Peter was still inside. So they opened the door and they saw that he has been taken out. Yeah, so that's an example of special prayers. Prayers that that came up because there was an urgent situation at hand. Yeah, those are examples of special prayers. Or prayers that came because there was a special revelation from the Holy Spirit. Like when we had, there was some time ago we had 10 days prayer fasting. Yeah, which came as a specific instruction from the Lord that we should pray and fast for 10 days. Yeah, and a lot of testimonies happened. I'm sure some of you can still remember. Yeah, a lot of miracles, a lot of blessings, a lot of breakthroughs. Yeah, so those are examples of special prayers. It could be as a result of a situation that is so urgent and we need urgent divine interventions. And then it could be because there's a special revelation from the Holy Spirit that we should do is a program because God wants to do something powerful. And anytime God gives me such kind of direction, there's always miracles. Yeah, but I know of some churches that they just hold special programs, but it's not like God gave them a direction to host those programs. Yeah, and then people attend and then, and then there was not much miracles. Why? Because they just did it from their minds or from their brain. They were not properly led by the Spirit of God. Yeah, so those are just some examples. There are more examples. So anytime there is a special prayer program like that, as a Christian, you need to join. Sometimes it could be 7 days, sometimes it could be more than 7 days. You need to join because the Spirit of God who gave that instruction is going to follow the instruction to fulfill it. So when God gives instruction and we obey as he has, given, there will always be miracles. Now, let me round off with this. Recently, one of us, which she's hearing my voice right now, one of us told us of how she was asking another sister who got to know about our meetings. She was asking her that when Apostle gave an instruction that you buy olive oil and, join the prayer session where prayers will be prayed on the olive oil. Did you do that? Yeah, and the other sister was like, oh, I don't want to talk about that. Yeah. Now, the reason why I'm bringing this up is that those kind of instructions, they were not man-made instructions. They were divine instructions. Yeah. And those who followed as the Lord gave those instructions, they saw the hand of God. Yeah. They saw God's interventions. Yeah. And whereas those who just consider it as maybe it's just some of those instructions or some of those things churches do or ministers do, there's no big deal about praying on olive oil and applying it on your head. So, some, they just look down on such instruction and they miss the blessings. Yeah, so let us always honor every special prayers that God through his servants organizes. Yeah, so we're going to stop here and we'll continue from this point next week. Yeah, if you have any question, you can put it on our group platform. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your faithful. Thank you for showing us the benefits of believers' fellowship. Reasons why we believers, Christians, need to come together and have fellowship. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. And thank you for showing us that if we follow these teachings and divine principles, you are faithful to visit us, to give us encounters, and to change our lives and situations. Thank you, Lord. I ask, oh God, that as many who will begin to apply these teachings practically in their individual lives, I ask, Lord, that you visit them and help them in Jesus' name. As many here who will take to heart these truths, these messages, and begin to follow and practice and obey them, I pray for you that your life will not remain the same again. The hand of God will fall upon you and change your life and help you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, because we know you have answered. In Jesus' name, it is done. Amen. Remain edified.
Goodbye.